Monday the 10th of September, Rabbi Joseph Perlman. How far do we go to get a good acquittal?
Good morning to everyone. On the last occasion I received a little criticism that you were expecting a lot of gematrias or thereabouts, and it didn't materialise. So just to start you off, I'm sure you're all aware that on the computer they've discovered that Rosh Hashanah, there's only one pasuk in the whole of Tanakh which has the same gematria as Rosh Hashanah. Remarkable thing. If you look out for that pasuk, you'll find it. We say it in Slichos Ner of Rosh Hashanah. It's chapter Kuf Yud Tes in Tehillim, pasuk Tzadik Aleph. I recommend you to look at that pasuk, and you'll see how intimately connected with Rosh Hashanah it is. Now, though I've said that to start off, if you want to know what's got to do with the plants of trees, well, we're going to look at the way we greet other people during the Yom Menorah, and you're going to see how accurately and carefully that the words have been chosen by Chazal. And we've already discussed in the past in the Tefillah how accurate everything is. I mean, if you look at Zochreinu L'chaim, remember, you'll see the exactly 11 words, which is the ingredients of the Ketores, exactly in Nusach Ashkenaz 50 letters, which is connected to the Chamishim Shari Bina, and Nusach Sfad and the Nusach Chassidim is only 48 letters, which is connected to the Memches Adram Shatur Nignis Behem. Everything is very, very carefully accounted for in letters and in words. You might recollect that in the Tfilas of Yom Neroim, the things that we add in commence with Zochreinu L'chaim, which is exactly 381, which is exactly also the Gematria of Hasholom, Ose Hasholom, we say in Nusach Ashkenaz, again, Ose is 381, Hasholom is 381, and even the Nusach Sefarad and the Sefaradim who don't change the bracha, Netz Yisrael, they don't change the final bracha, the Levan Boruch Samosho Bashalom, they don't change it. But in the Kaddish they say Ose Hasholom. On the end of Shemoneh Esrei, when you go back, they say Ose Hasholom. And the reason is that Ose 381, Hasholom is 381, and that's to do with the Malach, whose name is also got a Gematria of 381. So you see, it's remarkable how the whole of the structure of the Shemoneh Esrei, both in numbers of words, number of letters in the Gematrias, is very, very carefully worked out. And if I recollect rightly, we've discussed once that even the letters which are chosen, there's no letter pay in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, but it comes back in Zochreinu twice, and there's no letter Zayin in the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei normally, but it comes back in Micha Moicha, in Avarachamim, Zocher Yitzurah. Everything is very, very carefully awaited. So it's not surprising, therefore, that not only in the question of the actual tefillah, but even in the way we greet people, we've got to be particularly careful. Now, during the Yom Neroim period, we have to obviously keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, but you've also got to be very, very careful to have consideration for other people. We don't just think of ourselves. And the Torah asks the question, how can we possibly even say Zochreinu L'chaim in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? Because you're not allowed to ask for things. How can we be asking for things in the first bracha? You have to wait until you've got to the fourth bracha, after Chayin. Then you can start asking. The first three brachas, you're not allowed to have bakoshes. And the three answers which are given, the one that the Torah gives is because we're not asking for ourselves personally, we're asking for the Tzibur. You should remember that on Yom Neroim, of course you're the primary target, but you've still got to have consideration for other people, and we've got to be mishtatev with the Tzibur, and therefore since we're asking for the Tzibur, we can say Zochreinu L'chaim. The two other answers I've mentioned briefly, one is in the Rav Haigon says that the reason we can say it is because Shas Cheirum Shiny, it's an emergency situation with life and death is in the balance, and then we throw away the niceties of etiquette, etc., and we go straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and pray for life. And the other answer is given by the Chofetz Chaim and in the Kehemat Tzvi, that we're not even asking for Chaim for ourselves. We're like soldiers who want better equipment. We're not asking that we should be given a good time. We're not asking for life so we can play more football, or life so that we can enjoy ourselves, that's mimela. But the life that we're asking for is leman cho elokim chayim. We want the life so we can serve our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Those are the three answers given to the Zochreina. But the one which is relevant to us is the first one, that we're asking for the tzibur. Significant also, Parshas Nitzavim is the makor for Kol Yisrael, our Raven Zervas there, we're all responsible for each other. Now, if you look at the Tur in the end of Siman Tov Kuf Pei Beis, there's a remarkable statement. Normally, you'll find that the Balei Halacha tell you halachas which you've got to do. The Tur actually gives you reasons as well. It's not as brief as the Shulchan Aruch, which just says Psak Halachas. The Shulchan Aruch is well known, does not normally give Eitzus Tovus. It doesn't tell you Eitzus. That's left for other type of Sforim. But at the end of the chapter which I mentioned in the Tur, he says something very, very unusual. He says, Noyagin ba'Ashkenaz. Now remember, the Tur was familiar both with Ashkenaz and Sfar, because he lived in Spain, but he'd got all the halakhas of Ashkenaz from his father, the Rosh, who, that was the greatness of the Rosh, and the Tur, that they spanned both Ashkenaz and Sfar. He says, Noyagin ba'Ashkenaz, kol echod mevake lechaveiro. Is a good custom, he says, in Ashkenaz, where everybody used to greet their friend of Rosh Hashanah, v'oimer kikosev bashana toivo. Then you should say to the other person, you should be written for a good year. That's brought, not in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch, as I said, doesn't deal with Eitzahs, but the Ramah decided it's more than an Eitzah. The Ramah decided it's a halacha, where he says Lashana Tova Tikase. So the Ramah says, like we do, Lashana Tova Tikase, and the Torah says Bashana Tova. So the Prisha immediately asks, what's going on here? Why does the Torah say Bashana Tova? Tikase Bashana Tova. You're not written in a good year, you're written for a good year. Why should it say Bashana Tova? And he gives two answers. One in the name of the Maril, that there's a sefer called the Shana Tova, just like you got sefer Slicha or Mechila, you have a sefer called the sefer Shana Tova. That's one answer. So Tikase B'Shana Tova, we should all be written in this sefer B'Shana Tova. The second text is the one which is actually more interesting for us this morning, as we shall see. He says that if you take the Rosh Tevas of Le Shana Tova, that gives you the letters Lamed and the Tes and the Tof. The Lamed and the Tes together are the ingredients of the Aramaic word for a curse. If you look through Parshas Nitzavim, where it talks about the Olah and the Klolos, you'll see the Targum always translates as Melatatayo, Latyo. Or you have the Gemara, Latya Abaya. Abaya used to curse a person, he used to speak and strong language against the person who did something which was of which he disapproved. So since the Rosh Tevas of the word Lashana Tova would possibly imply some sort of curse, the truth is it's best to say Bashana, don't say Lashana. Can you imagine? You have in mind when you say Lashana Tova that should be a curse? Chas v'shalom, you have no intention it should be. And it's not the word, it's just the Rosh Tevas of the word. And yet the Prisha says that's the reason why the Tur would not say Lashon or Tovah to anybody. You see how far you've got to be medactic. Now I want to go mention two or three other examples of this during the Omniron period. You know I'm a great fan of Dick Duck, which has tended to be neglected, but the Tur, in the same sin, much earlier on, in the same of the name of the Maram Rottenberg, says you should not say Zochreinu Lachaim. Even though the dictuk should definitely be Lachaim. There's no way that the dictuk should be Lachaim. Because we say, Zochreinu Melechovitz Bachaim. We don't say Melechovitz Bachaim. It's Hachaim that we're asking for. So why therefore do we say Zochreinu Lachaim? The difference in la and la is the definite article. La is la ha, so to speak, that, the. And that's what it should be. But no one says Zochreinu Lachaim. We all say Zochreinu Lachaim. The Torah explains why. Because the Gemara in Nedarim says that la could mean no, not. And la chaim could therefore be connoted as remember us not to have life. And it says Chas v'Shalom, we don't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to misinterpret our words and say Lachayim. We have to say Lachayim. I ask you, nobody in their right mind is asking for death. Nobody has slightest kavana that the lash should be for naught. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do you think he doesn't know what we're saying? Do you think he doesn't know what we're asking for? So why are we so makpid not to say Zachreinu Lachayim, which is a dikduk
in Arabic?
Well, all I can say is the tour asks the question and he gives the answer that you've got to be more medactic. So we're seeing again the same phenomenon that we've got to be doubly careful about what we say during this period. And an interesting question is, the Rambam also makes another comment that you, the minig, and when he's talking about the simonim, what simonim you eat, he says you have tamarim, shiitamu, soinenu, rimon, rimon. One of the simonim he says, we don't eat nuts. We don't eat nuts. Why don't we eat nuts? Two reasons. The second reason is because shaloyar bekicho v'neo, shouldn't interferes with the davening. But the first reason he gives is because egos is gematria chet. Egos is a gematria chet, and therefore we want to avoid having nuts. You know the famous story of the Gera Rebbe, who was somebody was making all fuss about them. Well, this, what he should eat, what he shouldn't eat, is he should remember. He said, remember, chet is also gematria chet. That's a famous comment. You mustn't get carried away with all the secondary matters and forget the ikkar. But anyhow, the point is egos is not gematria chet, that's the problem. Egos is gematria tov. It's 17. If it's gematria tov and we're asking for good lashon tov, that's what we want, so on the contrary we should eat nuts. So just because egos could become the gematria of chet, you know how it becomes the gematria of chet? You've got to leave the aleph out of chet. When was the last time you saw an aleph left out of chet? And a kri nixiv, you might find it somewhere. Or you have to put in the kailo. You know, you're entitled to add one to make it to that number. But really, it's 18, not 17. And if you've got another gematria of Tov, we should use that. So what's the Rambam on about? Elamai is the same syndrome. It's true Egos is gematria of Tov, but since it could possibly be connoted in the wrong way, we have to be specially careful. There's a beautiful moshel given. There was once a king who had a bald head. And in the town, they had the group of people in the town, and they had already honoured their president, who also had a bald head, and they put a picture of the bald-headed president on the wall. Now the king was coming to town, and the people didn't want in any way to upset this king. They wanted to make absolutely sure the king got every covered. Somebody noticed, look, if the king sees a bald-headed man on the wall, he might think that's a slight against his own cover, that we're trying to degrade him or show that we're making fun of him. Even though it was the president, and even though it was a completely different face, but chas v'shalom, that the king should possibly be in any way slighted. So they decided to take the photograph down until the king had gone home. What's the pshat? If there's anything which could possibly be misinterpreted, even though that's not the explanation, we are terribly, terribly makvid not to do such things. That's the rule. We see that throughout the davening, as you have given various examples, but it's also the situation when we greet other people. We ask Shona, Toivo, Tikose, that's what we say. Then there is a machlokus between the Gro and the Mogen Avraham whether we say v'sei chosem. The Gro says you should not say v'sei chosem on the day of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the chasiba only will come at Yom Kippur. From the Gemara it's mashma that the chasiba takes place on Yom Kippur for everybody. Either there's another Gemara which says tzadikim have on the Rosh Hashanah immediately have a chasima, and then the Beinonim are tluim v'omdim, and only Rishoyim get on Yom Kippur. Says they're gone, you've got the wrong shot in the Gemara. That is talking about Chayolam Abo. But in the Chayolam Azeh, it's Zicha only on Yom Kippur. But there's two different sugars in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, and the Gaon says that you should not say the Seichosen because it's not yet the time for the Chasima. Morgan Avraham disagrees. He says, no, you should say Seichosen. Why? Because it may be the other person's a tzaddik, and therefore you don't just give him a Kasiba, you want him to have a proper Chasima as well. A Kasiba is not good enough. Because if he's a tzaddik gomor, well, there's different gomors, this one, that we can interpret it, but lemaisa, there's this do'a chasimo, which takes place for tzaddik and gomorim, you must think that the other person is a tzaddik gomor. What you do for yourself is a different matter. But when you're looking at other people, you must look at them as a tzaddik, says the Magen Avraham. And therefore the minhag ha'olam is to say l'shono tova tikase v'seichose. Now, if you look at the later achronim, the chai odom, he says that's not good enough. You must say more. L'shana tova tikasas seichosen l'alta l'chayim tovim. We want to say l'alta should be, and it should be l'chayim tovim. Comes along the Magen Avraham and says that's still not enough. We're going to say l'shana tova tikasas seichosen l'alta l'chayim tovim or l'shalom, he adds on. And even that, the minhag ha'olam I've heard, and I don't know where the makor is, that's still not enough. L'shana tova tikasas seichosen l'alta l'chayim tovim l'shalom v'sifon shal tzadikim gemurim. That's a minhag which I've heard. I don't know what the makor is, but the idea behind the minhag is quite clearly that you are putting all your effort that to make sure that you are machshir the other person to be a tzaddik, and you're going to give him as many brachos as you can. Now, the Shlomo Zalman is not even satisfied with that. I saw in the Halacha Shlomo, he says, to wish somebody a Lashana Tova is wishing him, is not wishing him enough. Because whatever the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to do is Latoiv. We say, Kishem Shem Mavorchem Al Aro, Al Tokach Mavorchem Al Aro. So even if Chas V'Shalom you have a bad leg, or you have a financial a mishap during the year, it's good for you. So therefore, what's he wishing the person? Lashana Tova. You're going to have Lashana Tova, whatever happens. However bad your year it might feel to you, it's still Lashana Tova. So what are you wishing him? That's not good enough, he says. You've got to wish him more. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said you should always add in the word Masukah. L'shana tov u'masukah, like we say, Yirotzen, when we say dip the apple in the honey, we say Yirotzen she chadishon l'shana tov u'masukah. He says, when you wish your friend something on the Yom Yoron, and he says, he always adds in Masukah. What shat Masukah? Yet, tov are you going to have anyhow? Even if you have a smash-up, even if you have an illness, that's still tov, but it's not masukah. We want the tov that you're going to get to be the sweet tov which you can benefit from and enjoy. That's what you should always think when you wish your friend. You should have, yes, you should have a shana tov, but don't just say, whatever Kodesh Baruch Hu does will be tov. Kodesh Baruch Hu avid letav. That's true, that's for yourself. But for anybody else, it's got to be masukah too. So we see that the brach is getting longer and longer all the time. Everyone's got to put that extra little piece in. Now, we just go further. The Shona Tova Tikasa V'Seichosen Lecha Al-Minhag to say as much as possible. And you say that, according to the Magen Avraham, until midday on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The second night is a bavusta machlokes between the Taz and the Elio Rabo as to what you do on the second night. You follow your minhag. Some people do say Lashana Tova, some people don't. Because the second night is a shaila, whether it's like a Yom Arichta in the Gemara, we've got a machlokes, it's whether it's one day or it's 2 days, whether it's you have to repeat what happened in the first night. That's a machlokes. But what is interesting is how you respond. If somebody says Lashana Tova Tikasa V'Seichosen L'Alta L'Chaim Tovim L'Shalom V'Sifron Tzavtikim, and you can't go on saying that to everybody, so we respond. Now, in normal times, the response used to be V'Chein Lamar. You should also have the same bracha. However, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, doesn't say you should say V'Chein Lamar. The minhag ha'olam is that somebody says something to you, you respond, you know what he says? Gamatem. Now, grammatim is not terribly grammatical, also you. It's not quite grammatical, and it has always puzzled me, where does gamatim comes from? But we know gamatim means you too, but the answer is actually very simple. Since mar means bitter as well, mar in the Gemara means mister, sir, you too. But since mar can mean something bitter like misery or mar, therefore in order not chas v'shalom it should be misinterpreted again, we don't say to you v'chein lamar as you would say during the rest of the year, you say gamatem. Then if you said gamatem, you've been yotzei, so you don't have to say the whole arichus over again, but you should avoid saying the chayin lama. Now the Oroch Shulchan didn't say you should avoid saying the chayin lama, all he just says is the response is gam atem. However, in the Sefer Avor, Avor Shalom, I think, from the Mumcatcher, he actually says he has the minig not to say the chayin lama because that could be misinterpreted. Now we come to the next stage. After Lashon HaTovah Tikos, if you say Chosim, etc., from Rosh Hashanah onwards, the minhag is to say Gemar Chasimah Tovah until Yom Kippur. There are many, many people I've seen that say Gemar Tov. I used to hate that expression. Because those of you who understand Yiddish know a Gemar Tov means you're Tov, Havna Shena Tov. And, you know, the Sephardim are not makpid about it, because in Yiddish the Sephardim don't speak Yiddish, and for them they do say Seifer Tavo. That's the Lashon of the Sephardim. They didn't have this expression as Shizos to Havna Shameless of. They said this is a Seifer Tavo. It should be a good. It should all work out. The end should work out well. Fine. But we Ashkenazim who do have this Yiddish expression. It connotes in your mind that this person should have a terrible end, and you say to the Lashon Sagi Nohor, and you should have a shame of self. Therefore, in all, remember, even if it doesn't mean that, of course we don't mean that, but since we have to be so massive, during these 10 days, we're very careful in our language with everything that we say. Therefore, I advise every one of us to say Gemar Chasimah Tovah and not be lazy and leave out the Chasimah. And you know, that is also, I have felt this for many years, but Rabbi Levenberg pointed out to me this Sefer Avashon, he looked at the Otzah Chochma, I think, and he found there that the Mumcatcher would not say Gemar Tov, for the same reason, because he said you've got to be very makbid in the Lashon which you use to say Gemar Chasimah Tov.
Dan Fisher always used to say the same as what you're
saying. Oh, Baruch Shikivanti. Very good. Listen, if you're going in the right direction, you'll find a lot of people keeping you company. That's what the Mavoshans say. Now, according to the Gemara, when Yom Kippur is over, that's the end. There's no chance of changing things. Yom Kippur is the soft of the Tshuva process. It's quite clear from the Gemara, there's no mention of ending in the Bavli anywhere of anything happening after Yom Kippur. And we know in the period in the Sanatokov, Bush Rosh Hashanah Yikos Seivun, over the other Yom Kippur Yechos Seimun. Shteknish Bush Rosh Hashanah, something else is going to happen. It says once Yom Kippur is over, that's in the Ilas HaChag, that's in the Ilas of Yom Kippur, and that is it. And from the Bavli of Smashma, that's the end of the story. I haven't got time now to go into the Yerushalmi, but if you look, I've got the reference in the Yerushalmi, it says in the Yerushalmi, Yom HaRovo. And he compares Yom HaRovah to the Yom of Yom Rosh Hashanah, because it says Yom Yom Yidroshim. There's two different sets of Beforshim in the Rishonim. One set learns it like the Bavli, it's got nothing to do with Tshuva. Yom HaRovah's got to do with the Mayim and Sukkos, it's a separate Indian. However, there are Beforshim who learn that the Yom of Hashanah Yom HaRovah is the same in a way as Rosh Hashanah, and they learn, that's how they learn Pshat and Rishonim. So it's not mukhlif one way or the other from the Yerushalmi, but it's two different mafoshim as to whether or not there's something which happens after Yom Kippur. Some people still say Gemar Chasimah Tovah after Yom Kippur, but the minhag ha'olam in Ashkenaz is to say, we say Piska Tavo, or a Guten Kvittel. I checked with the Sfarim what they do, and they say that they apparently do not say this at all. They just say Tisku Lishanim Rabot, and one Sfardi quit, since they're allowed to have more wives than we are, they say they change it to Tisku Lishanim Rabot. The point I'm trying to say is not a Sfardi custom at all, but an Ashkenazi custom from Eastern Europe to say Piskatava Guten Kvittel. Now, as I said before, it's not in the Bavli, there's a Shalu that's in the Rishami, it is in the Medrash. There's a famous Medrash which you all know, which talks about, and I'll read out the Medrash because it's a very well known Medrash, but that also proves that there is some Inyan in Sukkos as well. It says in the Medrash Tehillim, Yud Zayin Posuk, hey, Rosh Hashanah Boin Kol Boy Olam V'Ovim Lefonov Kivnei Moro. Now Rosh Hashanah we all for a sporacle to be checked. Kivin Shigia Yom Tavishin Shalchag Kol Yisrael Gedolim Gitanim Notlim Lulaveim B'Yaminom V'Shrogeyam B'Smoilom Miad Hakol Yodim Shisroi Notlim Badim. when people see the lulav in the hand of the Klal Yisrael, they know that Yisrael has won in the din of Yom Noroim. The Kivin Shagia Yom Hashanah Rabo, Notlim Arve Nachal Makifin Sheva Hakofos, who go around 7 times, the Chazana Knesset Omed Kamalach Elokim, the Sefer Torah Bezroo, because he stands in the middle with the Sefer Torah, the Omer Akifin Mosa Dugma Samizbeach, Umayad Malach Eshor Smekin, the Omer Nitzchu Yisrael, Nitzchu Yisrael. Yisrael have won. From there, you see that Medrash pretty clear that the Teshuvah process is not finished on Yom Kippur. It waits until Hashanah Rabbah. There's a lot of pshatim as to what's going on, what's Teshuvah Me'irah, then you have Teshuvah Me'avah. But one thing you do see is that there is an inyan in Hashanah Rabbah following Yom Kippur. Not quite clear exactly what the inyan is, but that's how the Medrash says it. The Rishonim clearly held Yom HaRavah was a part of the Teshuvah process. There are a number of riots from the different Rishonim, but they did hold of it. So although the Gemara doesn't seem to mention it, it is in the Rishonim. So where does it come from? And the answer is, it's very clear, it comes from the Zohar. The Zohar used to say that what happened was this. On Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent out what's called Psokim. That's, he gave a Psak Din. He sent out the Psak Din to a Santira. A Santira was the Malach, the officer, the bailiff of the court sheriff, the Malach who was in charge of executing the judgment. However, there was a stay of execution, and that stay of execution lasted until the Achron Shel Chag. Achron Shel Chag is what looks in the Meforshim, Ad Achron Shel Chag, according to the Shlok, it means Ad below Ad B'chalam, is it only until Hashanah Rabbah. There are other Meforshim who say even to Shemini Atzeres. Achron Shel Chag, even to Shemini Atzeres, is still a chance. And that's why we also have Geshem on Shemini Atzeres. It's also similar in a way to Hashanah Rabbah. Now, but the point is this. The Zohar says quite clearly that even though the Psak Din has been given on Yom Kippur, the effectuation of that Din, the carrying out of the judgment, is in these Pesachim, which are given out to the Santira, who then will give them out to the people who deserve punishment unless you can get them torn up. You've got a chance to get the Psak Din torn up. The Psak Din is made on Yom Kippur. That's the Chasima. But it hasn't got. Now, my father's a friend of Rachel, always used to tell me the way it works is like this. Now, I remember as a little boy, it was very, very effective, the Moshe. It's just like this. When you write a letter, you write and you think and you draft it and you compose it. That's Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, you're composing the kesiva, the letter you're going to write. You're praying to the king that he should give you whatever you want, or in modern terminology, you might be asking for planning permission for huge development. So you've got to set the letter in a very, very careful way. But then you read it again and you go over it and you check it. And finally, after looking over, you never send it the same day you've written it, you all must check it the next day, you get other people to look at it, and you work on it, and then finally, when you've got the final version, you stamp it with your chasim on, you write your name on it. That's Yom Kippur. You then stick it in an envelope, and you pass the envelope to the postal department to take it to the up to the letterbox. That is the period between Yom Kippur and Hashanah Rabbah, where the envelope is sealed, it's in the envelope, and it's on its way to the letterbox. Until it's posted in the box, you can call the letter back and tear it up. But once it's gone into that box, that's the end of it. You know, you can't get the letter out of the letterbox. It's a criminal offence to interfere with a post. It's gone, it's on its way, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Therefore, the period between Yom Kippur and the Hashanah Rabbah is the period when you've got the opportunity of tearing up that letter. That's the pshat of the psokim. Now, that leaves us with two very, very strong questions. Why do we wish somebody a guten kvittel when we said that the kvittel is something which is a terrible thing, it's full of punishment, full of terrible gezeiros against the person, number one, and second, it's never given to the person, it's given to the santira, it's given to the shliach, not to you. So where did this minute come from because they wish people a good kvittel? Especially in view of what we said before, you've got to be doubly careful not to in any way upset somebody else by something which can be misinterpreted. Where did it come from? And I believe that this is the reason why the Svarim don't use this expression at all. They don't say it. They just say, as if it's going to Shanim Rabot, or they say Gemar Chatima Tova. Sir?
Pisco is not the same. It has to be...
No, Petek.
That's what I know. The
Petek
is with a cross.
Yeah? It is a Petek, isn't it?
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. No, Petek is the same in English. Pescatab is spelled Petok. No, it's a mistake. It's not Pesamach, it's Petok. People all make that mistake. The word is not Pesamach. That's a mistake that people make. It's not Pescatab or Pesamach Kufam. That's incorrect. It's Petok Kufam. It's Pesek, like the modern Hebrew Pesek. Anyhow, so this is a very difficult question, which is puzzling. The only answer I can think about is the following. I'll do it very briefly. The point is that these psakim are bad news, and they should be torn up. However, very often when a Kodesh Baruch Hu's made a decree, it's got to last. Just like when a Kodesh Baruch Hu makes his decree of how much water is going to hit the world, that decree is made on Sukkot, how much water is going to be there. However, the person can get that water distributed in ways which won't affect him. If he's a tzad, he could get just enough water in the right place for what he needs. If he's a rosha, he'll get swamped by the water, he'll get drowned. So in other words, the gezeira is there, the pesek is there, and it's bad news. However, bad news can be good news. What means one man's reason, another man's poison. So we're asking a Kodesh Baruch Hu that the pesek which he sent should, although it's bad news, although it's definite, we are praying to God's prophet, we may not deserve it, but l'chol ha'pachut, change that pesek so it should work out good for the yidden. If he's going to send bad decrees, there's going to be an earthquake somewhere, let it happen in the son of Israel rather than happening with us. Let's say there's got to be 7 earthquakes during the next year. They shouldn't happen in Eretz Yisrael, and they shouldn't happen in Golders Green. They should happen somewhere else. That's the chat we wish the Piscatav, and actually the same idea it was say. We said Shuvot Tfilo Tzadok Ma'avirim. It's not Mavatlim Etro Agzero. We should ask be Mavatlim. What is Ma'avirim? The answer is Ma'avirim. Take it away from us and give it to Yenem. That's what Ma'avirim means. Ma'avirim, we don't want this Roi Gezeira. So it's a double bracha. We want the Gezeira taken away from us and thrown onto the Sonim Shel Yisrael. That's the pshat. We want the Piscatava for us, which should land on somebody else. That, in brief, is a possible way of doing it. But it shows, however, the dikduk and the care that we take during the Om Nirun, and how, as the title says, how far we should go in order to get the Piscatava removed from us and land on the people who deserve it.